Broadcasting from the WEEI studios. Powered by Verizon. 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1. Lawrence, Boston. And Odyssey Sports Station. Dan Ball on WEEI.
There was a report today that Jalen Pope will have to have season-ending shoulder surgery. Can you add anything to that?
No, I don't know, other than I'd like to find out where some of these come from. You know, some of these rats around here, so we'll figure that out.
See, Brian thought he could sneak a rejoin past me from the band Rat with two T's. But weren't they involved in that, the commercial? Oh, man, I'm going to butcher it. But it wasn't for an extermination company. But there was something about, like, we have rats in our house or something like that.
That's probably the only reason I know the song. I think it's from, the 80s or something.
Great song. Great hair band. I'm 100% with you. But, yeah, you couldn't sneak that one past me. So I get that one. Back here on WEEI, Dan Ball with you. We got Brian Frazocco back behind the glass, taking you up until Red Sox baseball at 6:10 today is when my man Joe Weil takes over for the Mass Mutual pregame show. 7:10 first pitch. Red Sox going for the sweep. That was the voice of Mike Vrabel talking about rats, which was something that I would imagine no member of the Patriots press corps was expecting to hear when asked about the report. So to track this back a bit, Jordan Schultz, who, to my knowledge, is still unaffiliated. He has bounced around considerably as a reporter, was most recently, I think, with Fox Sports. And I don't believe he has a publication that he has landed with. He's kind of just doing his own thing and making money in that regard.
He was the one who almost got in the fight with Rappaport at Starbucks.
Yes, right? He was. And that was kind of his swan song as an employed individual. But now that he is a free agent, he is still doing his thing in terms of reporting on the NFL. And he comes out with the report about Jalen Polk having shoulder surgery. They apparently went through a number of different options and determined that surgery was the best one. It was kind of a bizarre rollout of information to begin with, because there was no immediate secondary source coming from the tremendous Patriots reporters that we have in our area. You didn't hear anything immediately from Kite or Callahan or Daniels or Giardi or any of them. There wasn't the immediate, like, Jordan Schultz puts it out and then immediately you have a local media member that's confirming that as well. Which made you wonder. I had to double and triple check that it was from the real Jordan Schultz before it then made its way onto air here, just because there was legitimately only the one account that was reporting it. So that's kind of a secondary thing to all of that. But just from an information gathering perspective, that sent a red flag up to me when that first report came out. Patriots play their final preseason game and press availability that comes around that game. Vrabel is asked about, not even asked about, where did the report come from. He was simply asked, and you heard it on the rejoin, you know, can you add on to that? Can you give us any more information? And when the first
other than I'd like to find out where some of these come from, you know, some of these rats around here, so
right.
We'll figure that out.
So as soon as he started with no, I was like, oh? Okay, that's normally something where even if you're not going to get the specific timeline down to the day.
No.
Yeah, you'd get a sure, you know, we decided that was the best course of action. You know, we wish him well. He's a good player. He's still a part of our future, and we're excited to see what he can bring to the mix in 2026. You'd get some bullcrap word salad answer like that. So as soon as when he started no, it's like, oh, where's this answer going to go? And then he goes with, we got to figure out where some of these are coming from. And he could have stopped it there. But the ultimate point that came away is the use of the word rat.
You know, some of these rats around here, so.
That's not a word that, to me, you just come up with on the spot. You know and have known. Because you said plural. These implies that there have been multiple reports that have gotten out of the building in New England, down in Foxborough, that you have not A-OK'd. It's not been run past you. You had no idea that this information would be made public until it was put out. The implication is that there's been multiple of those.
Somebody's,
which is crazy. because he has not been in power for that long, and they've played zero NFL games to this point. And you're already saying that multiple reports have gotten outside of the building that you had no knowledge or say or control over. So you've been thinking that there's a rat somewhere in your midst for at least a bit of time, even if it just came with this Jalen Polk report. He has been thinking that word rat. For a... It's anytime I bring up a specific quote, I look back behind the glass and Brian's going back from the computer and back to try to get the exact word, which I appreciate. And it illustrates the eventual point that I think I'm going to make sometime within this hour.
Oh, just quickly, he doesn't say rat. He says rats.
Rats. Plural. So what does that suggest? So that suggests not only multiple stories, but multiple perpetrators.
Well, I think when he says these stories, I think that's, you know, talking about different, you know,
yeah,
stories or whatever. But I think when he says rats, to me, that's implying more than one person.
Interesting.
So to me, you know, we were talking a little bit during the break about, you know, sort of all the people that I don't want to say were forced on Mike Vrabel, but not necessarily his guys, not people he handpicked to have the jobs that they currently own, whether that be in front office, whether that be on the coaching staff, specifically on the offense. Like, there are a lot of people here who he doesn't have a lot of strong ties to, or really any ties at all.
Right. And those individuals, unfortunately, go all the way to the top. That's Elliot Wolf. That's Matt Groh. And a name that entered the conversation in multiple, and I've heard this discussed. It was discussed on our radio station. I heard it across town. I've heard this everywhere. The name that everybody kind of dances around, which I think is a really fascinating one, is McDaniels. Because that is the one hire that you can unequivocally point to, or certainly the most significant hire that you can point to and go, that's a guy that was hired not only by Mike Vrabel. That's a Kraft hire. So the implication of these being multiple stories and rats being plural, which is a great call and something that I hadn't even really kind of focused on the first numerous times hearing this. The implication is that there are multiple people within the Patriots that are not on the same page as Mike Vrabel and his guard that he brought in, of which there are many, namely, you know, Ryan Cowden and John Stryker. Those are kind of the two that seem to have the most power and the most influence directly related to Vrabel.
And something tells me he's not calling those two guys rats.
No, I would certainly imagine not, because the implication within all of this is that if you're a Vrabel guy, you know what information is allowed to get out of the building and what information is not. But there are significant players within the Patriots that are not completely 100% Vrabel guys. Sure, I'm sure he was consulted in the hiring of Josh McDaniels. But if Mike Vrabel said, no, I don't want to hire Josh, and the Kraft said, yes, I want you to hire Josh, would Vrabel have gotten his way? So that's more a Kraft guy than a Vrabel guy. Elliot Wolf is a Kraft guy, maybe more so than anybody currently in the building. And then there's Matt Groh and some of the existing front office personnel behind him. So it's one line. It's a post game of a preseason game that we're now diving into and analyzing 6 ways to Sunday. But it's a line that says a lot, doesn't it?
Rats.
It's a line and a term, that term right there. It was said with a little something to it. It was said with some power behind it. That one answer was given with frustration and angst, and that was even before he called them rats. So if that answer is in any way a peek behind the curtain as to where the Patriots are as an organization, this is taking the roster completely out of it. The roster, the play on the field, anything involving players, out of it. If the front office, ownership to front office to coaching staff operation is thus that we're already saying before one snap of regular season football that there are rats in their midst. This franchise has a lot of work that they need to do. And to me, it suggests that at some point or another, you're going to reach the point where you have to make a decision. Is this Mike Vrabel's franchise or is this the Kraft's franchise? Because if your head coach is already saying that there are people who are either against him or not working in the best interest of his football team, if he's saying that already, at a certain point, it's going to get worse. I would imagine it gets worse before it gets better. And there's going to need to be an organizational decision made on the direction that you go.
I also think it speaks to the state of the current team. I mean, when did Vrabel start getting all, you know, antsy and pissy at the media? About 2 weeks ago when those joint practices were happening with Minnesota where Will Campbell was struggling.
Right.
Drake May sort of had an up and down couple of weeks. I wonder if he's starting to look at this team and maybe starting to question how good they're really going to be. And I think he's just sort of on edge. I think if they had had a great couple of weeks, do you think he's going to be as upset and frustrated and, you know, sniping at the media, whether it's Phil Perry or other guys that he's been, you know, sniping at reporters and then coming out with this answer, calling members of his own either coaching staff or front office or whatever, his own organization rats? Like, to me, I just feel like something else is going on. And I'm not saying anything, you know, sneaky or cynical. I just think, like, he looks at the team and is sort of starting to get worried after the last couple of weeks.
Right.
He'd just gotten blown out. I know, week three preseason, it was sort of a throwaway. Most of those guys have been cut. But I think it did sort of speak to the lack of depth on the team. I think he's maybe sort of starting to wonder, maybe this team isn't doing so well. I don't think he makes any of these comments if they've had a great couple of weeks.
Yeah, okay, I can see your thinking on that. And
I mean, when do coaches usually get snipey at the media? Well, right? It's usually when their team isn't very good.
Yeah, winning solves everything. Of course, winning solves everything. So I would take what you're saying a step further and go, so what is he observing specifically about those bad weeks that's making him so upset about these quote unquote rats? Is it specifically, and this is also the guy that had the surgery, is that's an Elliott Wolf guy. That's a pre-Vrabel draft pick. So is he seeing guys that he either is not allowed to cut, is not allowed to bench, as he's seeing guys that he doesn't necessarily have control over holding his team back? That's what I wonder about that. Like, what if it was just a couple of bad weeks, but he was confident in his roster and the players and his ability to create to put the best team out there every single week? I don't think he would be that exacerbated. So that suggests to me, Brian, kind of to your point, that he is annoyed about the way that certain members of the organization are influencing the roster that he's given in the play on the field,
well,
if that makes sense.
And we talked about it in the back room. I think it was around 1:30 right before our show on whatever day that was, Wednesday or Thursday, when Jalen Polk news had finally been released with Jordan Schultz. And we were sort of talking about, oh, wow, you know, Drake May might be the only guy from the 2024 draft that'll still be on the 53-man roster this year. I'm sure Vrabel sort of looks at Elliott Wolf and is like, look at the mess you left me with. You didn't even give me two players from a draft from last year that I can have on the 53-man roster this year. You've really put me behind the eight ball. And I think maybe some of the frustration comes from that, right? The roster that he was given. And again, he knew to some extent what he was getting himself into, right? It's not like Jalen Polk had some terrific year last year and then got hurt and now he doesn't have it or any of the other picks. But maybe it just sort of highlighted how poor this roster was.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are a lot of people specifically around here picking them to win 9, 10, even 11 games this upcoming season. Maybe he's sort of looking at the roster and is like, no, this roster kind of blows and we might only win 6 or 7.
Right. You're giving me a bad roster. Or you gave me an awful roster to inherit. I already turned over 50% of the roster, and even that doesn't seem to be enough based on a lot of the issues.
And now I can't even cut this, you know, wide receiver who sucks because now he's going to be hurt. Now you're going to give him another year next year because he's going to have the excuse of only playing 1 year under a bad system. Like, I think it's just a buildup of all of the things that the previous regime had done for Mike Vrabel, and now he's coming into this, and it just seems like it's getting worse by the week.
Yes, it certainly does, which is what brings me to my ultimate point and kind of the thing that I argue coming off of this is, okay, you're now in a situation where your head coach feels this way about members of your organization. That's how they feel. So at what point do you get to a point of no return as a team where you have to say either Vrabel gets to make these decisions or he's not our guy? I'm not saying this is years down the line that we're talking about this, hopefully. But you can't operate an organization successfully if there's this big of a seeming difference in power, if there is this much of a you-know-what in contest where somebody has his guys, his cronies that are saying certain things to the media, but another guy has his guys that are keeping that's keeping stuff to themselves. A certain group sees the roster one way. Another group sees it the other way. One group sees talking to the media and having sources one way versus another.
That's what happened in 2022 and 2023, the last couple of years with Bill, right?
Right.
And we saw how that turned out.
Yeah, exactly. Because instead of just kind of giving Bill ultimate power and whatever, we're he's going to be gruff and we're going to be annoyed by him, but he's going to win. All of a sudden, when you get at odds with the quarterback and at odds with the owner, and all of a sudden there are splits in the most important parts of your organization, that's when things go south. So it was already a bit of a unique setup when you chose to keep Wolf and company in their positions, bring in Vrabel, and then not really declare, at least not publicly, who gets to make the decisions. We debated for months after Vrabel was hired. Well, does he get the final say at the draft? Does he get the final say in free agency? Is he Bill Belichick or is he Gerard Mayo in terms of the power that he has? And I think they kind of kept it ambiguous, maybe on purpose, so that there's scapegoating that can happen. I'm not really sure why the Patriots chose to keep it as ambiguous as they did. But you talk to different people, they tell you different things. More times than not, you hear Vrabel's in control. Sometimes you do still hear, well, Wolf, you know, Wolf has the say in football personnel and scouting and drafting and all that kind of stuff. But more times than not, you hear Vrabel's in charge. The public perception is very much Vrabel's in charge. But if you have a group of people within your organization that do not believe that, or were told by ownership that that's not the case, that's an issue. And that trickles down to roster construction, to who's playing, to who's getting cut, and everything that needs to go right for a team that is very thin when it comes to certain positions on the field and specifically depth. So that is kind of where this one stands for right now. There's nothing that's going to happen from it. There's no hiring and firing that's going to happen as a result of it. But it's also now a factor in how we have to perceive the 2025 New England Patriots, which is a shame, man. It's a pain. This is really the last thing that you wanted to try to add to the pile. The roster has enough to keep you busy in terms of issues. Now I also have to keep in the back of my mind that when I get information, I don't know who it's coming from, why it came out, or if everybody's on the same page with the information that I'm getting. And every roster decision, do I have to question, all right, well, did everybody sign off on this? Or is somebody agreeing and disagreeing? It's a level of dysfunction that I don't think we thought we were going to get. If anything, I thought Patriots fans probably expected to leave that behind. That's what the Vrabel hire was supposed to do. Leave this level of chaos and confusion behind. But now there are rats running about. And a text coming in clarifying it was a Geico commercial. We do have a rat problem.
Ah.
Which now, as soon as I heard that, it snapped it. Yes, that's exactly what it is. And I saw it over and over and over and over again.
It's one of those like five commercials they play during any sporting event.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, 100%. And now I'll think about it and it's going to be in my head all night. 617-779-7937. So that's organizationally what's going on with the Patriots. No matter who's making the decision and whoever's putting information out into the world, they still have roster cuts to make. They made another cut, which we alluded to. Brian might get to it during is trending. We'll see. We'll talk more about where the roster stands and the decisions left to be made for the Patriots. Who is getting cut and who is being kept if you were putting together this 53-man roster for the Patriots? Give us a call at 617-779-7937. We'll talk Pats after Brian Frazoco gets you caught up on what's trending.
Dan Ball on WEEI.
Like, what are you happiest with, you know, over the course of the last month from your first practice where you are tonight?
I think that's probably a tough question right now. You know, disappointed with just how we played and or executed. But I mean, I think that the guys, I think that there's glimpses of, you know, football in which we'd like to play it. You know, continuing to improve each day. You know, we're so far from being where we need to be, and just trying to get that message across. Stringing one good day together, putting another day together. So we've got four big days this week that we'll have to we'll really have to work.
797-937 back here on WEEI talking New England Patriots football. They were back on the practice field today. Kyle Williams was back on the practice field today, which was great. Matt Collins walked out onto the practice field wearing nothing but shorts, which was, well, depends. It was certainly something. He's just one of a kind and going to continue to be one of a kind. Catching up on some of the text related to the Patriots, a number of different people arguing for the other side, the non inside, the non-internal leak for the Patriots, talking about agents. The player's agent tells reporter from the 857, also from the 401, this is some of the most insane reach I've ever heard. I'll fast forward. It's not an effing conspiracy between the front office and players of the team, etc. The Patriots will be fine. You need to calm down. Obviously, no one thinks it's McDaniels from the 401 as well. It's obviously an agent. That's where 99% of leaks come from. That's also not comforting, but if we're talking about rats, plural, right, Brian? He said rats, plural.
He did. I'll grab it in a sec.
No. That's okay. We've shown you that one enough. I just wanted to confirm and make sure I heard it right. So there are multiple players, agents that,
yeah, they're in cahoots,
that need to be removed is what I'm what that would imply. We need to get some of these rats away from
and
here.
And who's telling those agents is my question.
Right, exactly.
How are those agents finding out about it?
So,
maybe it is the agents leaking it, but they had to get it from somewhere.
Right. So if they're getting it from the player, which is the implication that a lot of the people on the text line are having, then are you calling your players rats for talking, or are you calling the agents rats for then turning around and telling the media? And there's multiple of them within your organization. And your organization is special because you're the only organization that has agents that leaks information.
Correct.
He wouldn't. This is not Vrabel's first time with an NFL franchise. He wouldn't be as upset about this topic and wouldn't be using the word rats in a non-sarcastic way if you listen to that. There was no joking about anything that he said in that answer. He was dead serious and upset. I would argue, and I'll ask Ted Johnson this on Tuesday if it really needs to get to this point. I would guess that there are agents across not only football, but all of professional sports. More agents probably do than don't have media sources that they get the information from the player and then turn around and share it to the media. That's common practice.
And let's also not act like they were spilling state secrets. They weren't sharing the game plan with the Vegas Raiders. They were talking about a player who you were likely going to cut.
Right.
Was out for the year.
Right. Exactly. Information that was going to get out at some point.
Right.
If Jalen Polk wasn't cut, you were going to ask why. It's either because somebody had an aneurysm that was making the decisions on the roster, or he was hurt. So you're right. That information was going to get out. But Vrabel wouldn't go onto the podium and unprompted call agents rats, because that's common practice within the NFL. It has to, based on the way that he answered the question and the fact that he was not prompted to bring that information up but brought it up in an angry tone, it has to be something more complex than that. And I understand the perspective of the agent, and you want to believe that everything with this organization is fine, but I don't find it that far of a reach to think that Wolf and Vrabel, or Groh and Vrabel, or somebody Team Kraft and Vrabel may not be on the same page on everything, especially, as Brian mentioned, because they haven't won anything yet. And, you know, they've had some pretty ugly days based on reports and watching and things of that nature. 617-779-7937. Always appreciate perspectives on stuff like this. I certainly don't want to come on here and go, oh my God, the sky is falling. Everything's going to go, you know, Vrabel's going to be gone in a couple years because nobody can get along. I think it's something that's fixable. I just think it outlines that in a very similar way to the roster, the front office and the relationships between the people that make the decisions have a lot of work that need to be done before you can feel confident. By the way, for those that care, I'll interject this very quickly. The Tour Championship is coming to a close. Tommy Fleetwood is on the 18th tee with a 3-shot lead, so it looks like he's going to win his first ever PGA event, and he's going to win the big one. Absolutely. So good for him. I was really hoping a couple weeks ago Cameron Young became the 1,000th unique individual to win at least one PGA event, and I was really hoping it would be Tommy. I really like him. I like watching him. I'm going to sick brag bro myself by saying I followed him around a couple times at the Travelers Championship in Connecticut. Brings about a pretty good crowd, and I enjoy a lot about him. So I would have liked him to have that kind of thing attached to him. But looks like, barring any kind of just unmitigated disaster, he is going to win the Tour Championship, and then the focus in the golf world will be on the Ryder Cup. Our focus is on the Patriots roster as New England continues to cut down and get closer to that 53-man total. The latest cut, just one, as I think it was 14 cuts after the conclusion of the preseason game on Thursday, so on Friday. Layden Robinson, fourth-round pick in 2024, has been waived/injured by the Patriots, the team announces. Made 11 starts last year, 6 on the right side, 5 on the left side, fit the prior scheme more so than the current scheme. That coming from ESPN's Mike Reese. So the 2024 draft class.
Can I just interject super quick?
Always.
Can you read that last part from Reese again? The reason why they're saying he cut him?
Yeah. Fit the prior scheme more so than the current scheme.
Who does that sound like he's sort of defending there or sticking up for, maybe? Let me just rephrase. Who drafted Layden Robinson in 2024?
Oh, yeah. That's the most pro-Elliot Wolf tweet I've ever heard.
So, I mean, again, and, you know, we were just talking about Vrabel and, you know, calling out people, you know, for being rats and what. Like, it just sort of feels like this is sort of another example of, instead of just saying the player sucks, and I know Reese isn't going to write that in his tweet when the guy gets cut, but clearly he wasn't a very good player.
Well, yeah.
And the reason he got cut was not because he didn't fit this system and he fit the last system better. How did he fit the last system exactly? How did he play last year?
Well, you know, I mean, a lot has changed in terms of what offensive linemen do between Gerard Mayo's regime and Mike Vrabel's regime.
So it just feels, again, like we're sort of sticking up for Elliot Wolf, and it just sort of feels like, where is Reese getting that information? Who's feeding that information to Reese? Again, I just, you know, when you read that, I had to interject.
Yeah, that specific to media members, I'll let that one go for, you know, let the imagination run wild with that one. Just understand that with every sport. That's every reporter in every sport. Understand where your information is coming from. But it's a point that's well taken. The 2024 draft class. Drake May, good so far. Okay, awesome, fantastic. Seemed to have nailed that one through 1 year. Maybe. Jalen Polk. He is now the centerpiece of a controversy and also not playing. Caden Wallace very much seems to be on the outside looking in. Based on different 53-man roster projections, it's kind of him or Cole Strange. If you go with the model that the Patriots will have 9 guys on the offensive line, and Brian brought up how there are a couple guys that are viewed to be available. If somebody wants the guys that you mentioned on offensive line, then God bless you. But it seems like those spots that are more or less guaranteed, Bradbury, Brown, Will Campbell, Morgan Moses, Mike Onwenu, Jared Wilson. I think Marcus Bryant has clearly made the team, and I think Vidarian Lowe does as well. So if you're looking for, because those are your Lowe and what's his name? My goodness. Marcus Bryant represent your swing tackles there. So if you're looking for help on the inside, it's probably Caden Wallace or Cole Strange. That seems to be the decision that you'd have to make in that regard. So, at best, Caden Wallace, your third-round pick, is your 9th offensive lineman and, like, guy number 53 on your roster. Layden Robinson is gone. Javon Baker is more than likely gone, or at best a practice squad member. I've seen some people trying to make the argument that he could stay on as a special teamer, but I feel like you can use that roster spot better, because you just have seen no evidence in games that he can make plays. He had a good camp in terms of what he did on the practice field, and he had a good camp in terms of being a gunner for the first time. But he can't catch the ball in a game. He can't make plays in a game. That's not, your wide receiver room is not such that you can afford to have a guy who cannot contribute on offense at all. So that's where that stands. I think he's on the outside looking in. Marcellus Dial is hurt. Joe Milton is a Cowboy. And Jaheim Bell was cut on Friday. So you are getting closer and closer and closer to the only member of the 2024 draft class for the Patriots on the active roster by Tuesday being Drake May.
They don't know what the f*** they're doing.
No,
you
they
understand
don't.
That?
And so that's why if I was, to go back to the original point, if I was somebody in Vrabel's camp and I looked at that track record, I'd be like, "What? Why are you telling me what to do? Are you kidding me?
How about why are you still here?"
Yeah, it's also a fair point, which I'm not holding my breath on that one bit. So I was after the preseason game, that is, I took a shot at making a 53-man roster projection of my own. And I compared that this morning to that done in the Boston Herald by Doug Kide. So a couple different questions that came to mind when it comes to the depth decisions and trying to maximize this roster as much as possible for the New England Patriots. First of all, depending on the health of Ramondre Stevenson, do the Patriots go with three running backs or four? I know a lot of people were impressed by the performance, myself included, of Jamichael Hasty in the final preseason game. It's him and Terrell Jennings for that final spot on the roster. If Ramondre Stevenson is fully healthy come week one, I wouldn't mind seeing the Patriots go with the three that you know are going to contribute in Stevenson, Travion Henderson, and Antonio Gibson. I don't really think there's going to be any spare snaps to speak of between those three. You have three guys that do three relatively different things, different skill sets, and you kind of just have a fourth running back in the room as an insurance policy. I could absolutely see a world where they go with three. I had four originally, but Doug Kide had three. It was those three. I had Jennings making it. You could make an argument for either Jennings or Hasty. I could see a world for sure where neither make it. The other two parts of the offense, the wide receiving room and the offensive line debacle. That's where I think a lot of your depth decisions are also going to be made. Credit where credit is due to Efton Chisholm, because at every point of this journey from undrafted free agent to where we are today, he could have folded, he could have fallen off, and I don't think nobody would have held it against him. And I don't think anybody would have been all that surprised for an undrafted free agent to come in. He profiled out well when you signed him. It was an intriguing piece that you brought in just based on the accolades that he racked up, receptions leader, you know, all-time receptions leader in college, all those kind of things at his college, not overall. Just worth clarifying. But once you got to OTAs, he was doubted once again. Well, I mean, this is where he falls off. Made it through there, was a star of that. Then you get to the beginning of training camp, and well, he's probably going to get jumped on the roster. He already has to catch up to Javon Baker and Jalen Polk. Then he has to catch up to Kendrick Bourne to even make an argument to be one of your top six receivers, and he did that. And then you get into the preseason game, and well, how much are they going to use him? You'll really get a good sense of if they actually like him based on if he'll get used. He leads you in receptions and receiving yards in each of the first two preseason games. Every single opportunity for Efton Chisholm to fall off this preseason and this offseason for the Patriots, he has done the exact opposite. And I think that is really, really cool. What does he become in the NFL is anybody's guess. Here's what I can tell you. And I read a story about this, and I know other guys do this, but just speaking specifically to him, he has been in the building every single day at 5 a.m., meeting with the coaching staff. He's been watching highlights of, and he knows his market, he knows his comparables, he's been watching highlight tape of Danny Amendola. So, you know, when people say, oh, there's a couple traits that Efton Chisholm shares with a bunch of other Patriots wide receivers, he knows that, he's studying that, he's trying to mimic that, and I appreciate that. So he's putting in the work, he's there early, he's staying late, doing all the different things, at least, you know, reporting and reporting wise that you've read in different stories and you've heard from different people. He's doing everything that you can ask of a kid who's trying to make the roster. And he should be your sixth guy. And that gives you a wide receiving room, at least that you know of Booty, Chisholm, Diggs, Douglas, Hollins, and Williams. So that brings a bigger question to the forefront. Do you bring anybody else with you? Did Javon Baker do enough on special teams to warrant getting that last spot? Is Kendrick Bourne healthy? And do you see him being somebody who at least at the beginning of the season can be a contributor? Maybe you get him back on the field and then you trade him a little bit further along. Maybe he ends up helping the offense. Who knows? The mock-up by Doug Kied had Javon Baker on the roster and Kendrick Bourne on injured reserve. That's where he went with that. I had neither, and I had six running backs, but I would, if I didn't have a fourth or six wide receivers, if I didn't have a fourth running back, I'd add an extra guy, and it'd probably be Bourne because I think you could get some value for him a couple weeks into the season, closer to the trade deadline, if you ended up making that move. But those are the kind of conversations we're having at this point. The hangers-on, as you can see it, are those last spots on the offensive line. Cole Strange and Caden Wallace on the offensive line. It's Javon Baker, it's Kendrick Bourne, or neither for your wide receiver room. Your tight ends seem relatively set. Jack Westover may be a late cut, but it seems like he's going to be a kind of a tight end fullback hybrid for you on offense. And then your defense also seems to be relatively well set. The couple of guys that you're still waiting for some updates on, Marte Mapu seems to be on the outside looking in at the linebacker position, and what ends up happening with the two trade candidates, Anthony Jennings as well as Kyle Duggar. Are those guys on the roster? I'd say, at least my personal opinion, I think Jennings gets traded, and I think Kyle Duggar makes the roster because you end up not getting anybody to take on the contract, and you could either cut him and pay him to not be here, or have him at least a part of the room, have him be a rotational player, and maybe he can turn it to something if he's able to learn this new scheme and this new fit for the New England Patriots. Other than that, your only other thing that really comes to mind is a kicking competition. Who do you trust more? Do you give the nod to the draft pick because he was a draft pick and Andy Borogalis? Or is Parker Romo, a guy with at least a little bit of tape in the NFL, the guy that you trust more? It's a sneaky, really important question that we'll investigate a bit more after this. 617-779-7937. Continuing the conversation on the New England Patriots and their roster decisions as cut down day is on Tuesday. Plenty of decisions to be made. We'll continue that conversation next.
Dan Ball. Dan Ball on WEEI.
The report today that Jalen Pope will have to have season ending shoulder surgery. Can you add anything to that?
No, I don't know, other than I'd like to find out where some of these come from, you know, some of these rats around here, so we'll figure that out.
Back here on WEEI, 617-779-7937 is your phone number to join us. Just a couple of minutes left before we hand you over to Joe Weil and the MassMutual pregame show. So I sit here in the studio, I'm scrolling around on my laptop and on Twitter, just making sure we're up to date. I have no control over anything happening on the phones, but we have a phone screener in front of us. Brian Frazoco is back behind the glass today. I see him pick up the phone. And all of a sudden, I see a familiar name pop up in front of me that I certainly was not expecting to hear from today, but is one of my very favorites, co-host of WEEI Afternoons and three-time Super Bowl champion, Ted Johnson. Good afternoon, Teddy. How are you, sir?
What's up, Daniel and Brian? I'm doing great. I just got back from a long day at the beach with Robin and my daughter and my niece. We were at Good Harbor Beach, yeah, in Gloucester. We loved it, so we had a great time. So I'm feeling that, you know, that kind of that when you get that sunburn feeling, and now we're just chilling at home, hanging out. I was listening to the show, and I'm always fascinated about the inner workings of the Patriots kind of front office and coaching staff, and you guys got going on this Vrabel comment and the Rat comment, which we flushed out on the afternoon show on Friday a little bit, and right. Which I love. But I think you're giving it its due attention is all. And so I was texting you guys, blowing up the phone, texting you guys with all my thoughts. So Frazoco was like, well, why don't you just come on and share what you're thinking? So That's why I'm here, man.
Beautiful. Well, it's always a pleasure to get to hear your voice, especially on a Sunday. We're now two Sundays away from a football Sunday, which is even better. But yeah, I got to hear your thoughts on this. So from what we talked about on Friday, the original flesh out that kind of led you and Andy Hart to the conclusion that Elliott Wolf may be to blame. Is there more that you think you've uncovered on this?
Well, I just listening to you guys, it just, you know, you start thinking a little bit more, and there's just natural questions that kind of come out. Like, it's who benefits, you know, you guys are talking about Josh McDaniels. And I think Andy, you know, Hart brought up, you know, the idea of maybe it being Josh McDaniels. And I thought, well, why does that benefit Josh McDaniels? And so it's gotta be something, you know, someone's got to benefit from sharing information. either they want to make someone look bad, or they want to flex their power, or they want to gain, some favoritism with the reporter. And I just I don't know, Josh doesn't fit it for me. He just doesn't. And so then you think about, well, is it the player? I just don't know if Jalen Polk, the player, would benefit from that information getting out there, because, you know, hockey, Dan and Brian, and his reports about all these guys getting injured or playing through injuries at the end of the season, they come out because players want them to come out.
Right.
It's better if players put out their injuries and their status with their health so that people know why they're not out there. So that's part of it, maybe being Polk. I don't think when you have a comment like Rabel calling someone a rat, it's directed at an agent, because agents don't work for the teams. Agents are the last thing they are is loyal to the NFL team that they're negotiating with. So to call someone a rat is to call someone that you thought was loyal. Someone within the family is loyal. And so that you wouldn't call an agent a rat because they're not on your side, right? So that's the only thing I could come up with. But to me, the interesting thing is, and it kind of falls in line with what Frazoco, Brian, good stuff kind of reading that Mike Reese report about was it Layden Robinson getting cut, and who, you know, kind of, and how they explained it. There feels like, guys, because the thinking is that Mike Reese, you know, people in the industry feel like he kind of speaks for the ownership of the team, and always has. And so I just put Elliot Wolf, Matt Groh on ownership side, right? Always do that. And so if there's any information out there that makes the old regime, the Elliot Wolfs, the Matt Grohs look good, to me, it's going to come from Mike Reese. And something like the rat comment, the only thing I can conclude that it's one of the front office guys, either Matt Groh or Elliot Wolf. And if that's the case, Brable's got to be sitting here going, it's just like it was when I left Tennessee. Mike had an issue with the front office people and the guys making all the – and I had to call, making the calls in the general manager seat. So, to me, you just wonder if that frustration is like, man, here I am again, a different job at a different place, but it's all the same dynamics. And that's where I conclude when I listen to all the evidence and kind of think about this, is that that's where Mike's at with this, that it's his frustrations with maybe Elliot or Matt. And my guess is for this information to get out, it's really not that, who cares if this gets out?
Right.
To me, Mike wants it all streamlined, all coming from one place. And so if any information, I don't care how, you know, simple it is or benign it is, he feels like it's got to come out of one place. And when information gets leaked that didn't come out of the place he wants it to, then that's where he's showing his frustration. So that's my feeling on the whole thing right there, boys.
Ted, just a quick question for you. We were sort of throwing this around when we first started talking about this Vrabel comment about an hour ago to start the 5 o'clock hour. Are you concerned at all that this is going to impact the team at all? Like, are you worried about sort of this divide, whether it's between Vrabel and Kraft, Vrabel and Elliot Wolf, or even Vrabel and McDaniels? Does this concern you? Because we talked about the last couple of weeks have not been great on the field production-wise for the Patriots, whether it was the joint practice, whether it was that game against the Giants. Does this concern you, kind of having this sort of sniping back and forth behind the scenes?
It does, Brian, a little bit. And I'll tell you why. Because it might feel eerily similar to Mike. You know, like these feelings of, wait a minute, now I got to fight this other entity within my organization. They're not on the same page as us. So it brings up those familiar feelings that he had in Tennessee. Part of it might be, this team isn't, man, there are a few injuries away from like maybe having some serious issues, right? Especially on the offensive line. So that could be the frustrating thing. And Mike's an emotional guy to begin with, right? And so, if you're already, and you haven't even played one game, and the team isn't looking maybe where you wanted, the information isn't getting out there like you wanted, guys aren't responding the way you wanted, then an emotional guy like Mike Vrabel, when things are great, no one's better to be around. When things go bad, it might be more of a chore to get, you know, the Vrabel to be his normal self. So you just wonder, you know, it's a long season, and that maybe it's already showing some cracks. It's just something to keep in mind. That's really is. It's just something to track, something to kind of keep mindful of. I don't think it's any reason to panic, but I think it's something to kind of make note of and kind of be mindful of as the season goes on.
Yeah, something to keep in mind as roster decisions are made and as just the general occasions of the season come along, who's making the decision and where is the information coming from. Ted, thank you so much for the call. Yeah. Brian and I both appreciate it. Good luck treating your sunburn, and we'll talk to you again on Tuesday on WEEI Afternoons.
You guys are the best, the absolute best. I love you guys. Great show, man. I'll talk to y'all later.
Thank you, Teddy. Much love to you as well. That's Ted Johnson joining us unprompted here on WEEI on this Sunday. We got to catch a break so we can get you ready for Red Sox baseball. We'll do all that next.